Taste of Country Nights with Evan Paul on demand. This episode is hilarious. It's with our buddy comedian Drew Lynch, better known as the Stuttering Comedian. Hop on in here. It's quite entertaining. We're here with Drew Lynch. What's up, dude?
Hey, wow, we start right away. I love that. Evan doesn't mess around.
No, he gets right in, man. Well, yeah. I heard you were coming through. I want to hear some comedy.
Well, I don't know about that. We'll see.
Give me your best.
No, don't. Don't do
joke
that.
Me.
Don't joke me. It's crazy as a verb. Just joke me. Don't tell one. Just joke me.
Joke me, man. Dude, what has changed and what has remained the same in the 10 years since you were on AGT?
That's a great first question. Well, so I did America's Got Talent back in 2015. And when I was like 22 or 23 years old. And for me, like, I was looking for any opportunity at that time to just try and validate my overall existence, because I had an injury when I was 20 years old, and it messed with my speech, my motor skills. And it's been a long climb back to, you know, like, I stuttered very badly for a very long time. So climbing back into, you know, just trying to rehabilitate that over the years, for, you know, trying to improve my quality of life, trying to have it not define my overall career, has really been the focus for me for, you know, however long. And it's interesting with stuttering. It's like, you know, the more that you try to control it, or you try to anticipate or project or direct how people are feeling about it, that's oftentimes the worst that it gets. So it's just like this, it's like Chinese finger trap. The more you pull, or the worse it gets. And so it's taken me a long time to really accept myself and accept that that is a part of my history. So wait,
were you funny before the accident?
Jeez, that's a really nice thing to say, because I never thought that I was. I know that I grew up doing, you know, like performing arts. I wasn't very good at sports or anything like that, and so it just, like, it's interesting because the like stuttering taught me so much about what you, I feel like, need in to succeed in comedy, which is, like, you know, word economy, you know, that if you have any fat on a joke, you can trim it. You know, when you have to tell a joke and you're trying to keep people's, like, attention, you can't have any extra words. And also how you start the end, like how you start a word can change in the second syllable or the third syllable, can change whatever the whole context of the word is. You think that it's saying one thing, but it's another thing. So it really just kind of it just structured incoherently or indirectly, just a way for me to kind of get better at it.
How did you come to terms that you wanted to be, like, accepting of the speech thing and include it as self-deprecation?
Yeah, I am. Well, it's like I couldn't hide from it, you know. There's nothing that you can do to, like, other than just addressing it right away. And so I always found that people, if I'm able to just acknowledge it first, and I'm able to say, all right, I'm short, I'm pasty, I have weird, you know, I have a weird shirt on, I stutter, whatever. Like, if I'm able to address all of these things, then it's kind of like, okay, it takes out you weaponizing it against me.
It's like Eminem,
you know?
And 8
yeah.
Mile.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, a little bit like that.
Wow.
We're exactly
okay.
The same, me and Eminem. Yeah. It's literally uncanny how people think that you're the sheriff. They're like, that's Rabbit. That's what they say.
What made you feel like this time around on this run of shows that you wanted to address the stutter and package it all into your 1 hour routine?
Thanks, man. That's the exact question is the exact answer. I just think every time somebody had, you know, asked me about it, or were like, where is it? You know, where is your stutter is always a crazy question I get. Anytime I had questions about, like, the history of it, how I had rehabilitated it, my relationship to mental health with it, I really wanted to put it all just in one place. So I was like, anytime anybody had a question, I was like, any answer anyone would have, you'd find it there. Yeah. And I also mean just like any question you have, not even just about me. If you're just like, why won't my dad like go to any of my games? Stuff like that. Those types of questions.
Why what's your answer?
Well, for your dad, I have no idea. I don't know the guy. My dad is an alcoholic. No, just kidding. My dad's a good dude. I don't know why he just doesn't go to my games. So yeah, it's kind of cool. It was mostly just like, I just don't even want to talk about this anymore. I want it to just be like, here you go.
Yeah.
And then just let me live my life.
Were you married before your accident?
No. I was 20 when I got that. I mean, that's young even for the South. No, I wasn't, but I'm married now, and she's been with me through like all this stuff. Like,
so, well, what happens? Because I didn't get tickets to the show. I can't watch
it. Yeah, no,
it's
frustrating.
Give me the 3 minute.
I mostly came here to confront you on that.
Yeah. Give me the 3 minute. Tickets are expensive.
Joke me. Evan's like, just joke me.
Give me the 3 minute joke me.
Every time he shows up anywhere, he's like, he shows up to a massage. Will you joke me? Just joke me a little.
What happened? Like, what's the deal?
For what?
What's the injury that I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I realized I just kind of like skated past.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Part.
So I was 20 years old on a recreational softball team. I was in out there in Los Angeles. And basically a grounder just took a freak hop and hit me in my throat. And I had fallen and hit my head on the ground. And
what?
It was originally diagnosed as a minor vocal contusion and a major concussion. So originally they were originally it was like my voice was messed up, but it was actually just a severe brain injury that went mistreated as a TBI. When I went and visited a neurologist later, it was like, yeah, you got bruising. You need to do the ketogenic diet, try to heal the inflammation on your brain, do some brain exercises. Yeah, dude, come on, PTSD. And this is a baseball. This is nothing. This is softballs. Softball's worse. It needs to be bigger and brighter. Much more easy target to field. That's.
But you love softball still. Like, I saw that on your bio. It's like, you want to talk about softball?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I know, right?
Let's talk softball.
I know. I'm a glutton for punishment. I know. Well, do you play?
But I have a 6-year-old daughter that plays.
Yeah. So that's about my same skill level. I relate to that.
Do you still play?
No. I mean, I don't go back as much.
Wow.
But I grew up doing sports. I was never good at them, but
okay.
But yeah, it's wild because it was like a I think we were playing. I don't remember much from that day. That's what's wild is like I'm only remember the things that people tell. So like people tell me stuff about that day because I don't. So I'm only telling somebody something that someone else told me.
Did you do anything cool? Like, did you like pee in your pants when you were out?
Dude, I did that before the game started. You know me, Evan. I get nervous. I'm just waiting for snack time. Working hard for some orange slices. You know me. Did you do? I love that you were like, did you do anything cool like piss? what a wild thing to say. You know, were you arrested? You know, did people tickle you and you peed? You know when your cousins do that?
Oh, man. Do you listen to country music?
I love country music.
Okay. Who's your favorite country artist?
So I'm a huge fan of Luke Holmes. My wife and I, we went to see him in Albuquerque. There's a festival out there. Like, it's like their second year of doing this festival. It's like a... I can't remember what it's called, but they have a bunch of acts. So they had like John Party, and they had, oh man, I'm blanking on some of the other names that they
That's
had,
right.
but like literally a bunch of awesome, artists, but Luke was last. And then, it was outside and it was so windy. And so the speakers, they were suspended, but they would blow in the wind.
Oh.
So they would blow left to right.
Wow.
So like we caught like half of Luke Holmes. Like it would yeah, like no, Oklahoma. Na, 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 wow. Na. Like literally. And it was like, it was pretty good for what I heard. I love it. Long, ice cold what? Ice cold what? So that was actually really, really cool. I wouldn't go like Albuquerque. I don't know if you've ever been, you've been to Albuquerque.
I have actually.
Oh, I'm really sorry about that. Yeah. I wouldn't do it again.
It was just on a road trip. I was moving.
Just passing through?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Yeah. That's how you want to do it. So yeah, it was kind of a cool festival. And then we saw Morgan Wallen in Vegas, I think last year at Allegiant Stadium.
Yeah. I don't know who that is.
Yeah. He does a lot. Do you know anything about whiskey? Okay. Let's see. So he talks a lot about whiskey and you can make it a drinking game even.
Oh.
Yeah. Morgan, Morgan.
Okay.
And then last name is Wallen, Wallen.
Oh, he was on The Voice?
Yeah.
I think I, okay.
Yeah. Are you actually joking with me or are you
serious? Yes,
I okay.
am.
Okay, good. I was like, he sold it so well because I went with the bit. I was like, all right, he's doing a bit for sure. I'll tell him about whiskey. and then he sold it. You sold it so good.
Thank you, man.
Evan.
I'm going for my own. I want my own special.
I know you will. Dude, I bought it so good. You made me think that I didn't know it. I was like, am I saying it weird? Maybe it's Marcus. It's Marcus Wallen? Marcus?
My whole thing was, I hope he knows I'm just doing a bit.
Yeah.
I was like, I hope he knows.
No. Don't ever apologize for how you committed. Okay. You committed. I screwed up.
Okay. All right.
That was too good.
All right. Now, when you go city to city on comedy tours, do you travel like a musician or do you like rent cars and stuff?
I rent cars. How's traveling like
a
musician?
In a bus. Like, you know, cocaine. They get a tour rider.
Yeah.
I don't know about all that.
Yeah. I don't
get a tour rider. Rider, they got a bus.
They got like a guy who's like
a guy
who
yell
at people.
Yeah.
No, definitely not.
How does it look as like a traveling comedian?
It's sadder. That's good. That's my answer. What about next question, please?
Okay.
No, just kidding. If I was just like just sadder. If we can go off air and I can just cry into your sheriff sweatshirt. It's just sadder. No. It's like I travel a lot of times with different openers. I like to like I have a lot of friends who want like different opportunities. So I'm like, yeah, what you know, try to give as many people. Some musicians work only with like the same musicians. I mean, I know that like for certain tours,
mm-hmm.
But I would think like I usually travel with an assistant who like helps me with like you know like social media and stuff like that.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Does stuff. So someone if they were here, they would be here and be filming and all that stuff. So like it's kind of cool. Like I think getting into a town like the day before gives you enough time to like spend time in the town, get to know it. And a lot of times, like if I'm at a place and something is coming up in the area, like a concert or something like that, like I'll stay a little bit later or go a little bit earlier.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Okay. So like a lot of times we'll do that around, you know, like if there's like a football game or a sports game or whatever. And they're like, you know, they want to invite us out after some of the shows to stay an extra day. We'll do that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good
it's pretty
you,
cool.
Man.
Yeah.
Well, Madhu, I appreciate you coming by, man. This was a lot of fun.
I appreciate you making me think I didn't know who Morgan Wallen was. That was wild. For just a second, I felt so dumb.
That was a good sell.
Yeah.
Man,
you know?
I gotta say.
Yeah.
All right, let's bring in Billy Dukes to talk about this unorthodox interview for us, being that it was a comedian.
A fun interview, by the way, and great Morgan Wallen bit there at the end.
Dude.
Where you had him going about whether or not you knew Morgan Wallen. Like, that was... Yeah, I was almost like, did Evan hear him right? Because he knows Morgan Wallen. I know he does.
I need to put that video out.
100%.
I played that video for so many of my friends and my wife and everything. I was like, I got this guy so good. I was like, this guy's a comedian. He said I got him. And then I tried to apologize, and he was like, no, don't apologize. That was a career highlight for me, man. Like. Because I've talked to a lot of comedians doing the radio. They always come in and all that. And it's always hard because, you know, as a radio person, you try to out-joke the guy that is the comedian. And then the comedian's trying to out-radio you. I don't know. But this was fun.
So I wasn't there for this particular one. Drew Lynch gives little guy energy. Was he a little guy?
Yeah, little dude, little guy. Definitely.
Definitely
little dude. Yeah. I mean, since he was a comedian, I could have fun with it. Yeah, little dude. He is a little cute dude here. He had to move the microphone down.
the story of how he got injured, let's not undersell that a little bit because, like, he was a ground ball hit him in the throat. And he fell so hard that he hit his head on the dirt and messed up his voice and gave him a concussion. Like, on the softball field, that is unbelievable.
That is. That made me appreciate my decision long ago to never play adult softball due to injuries like, not like that, but injuries in general. But, you know, some would argue that was what was supposed to happen because it led him to the career being the stuttering comedian, you know. And I love that he accepts that and brings it to the forefront because – A true entertainer and comedian understands that, you know, but with that, you know, self-deprecation, you have to be confident enough to be able to handle that. And it seems like he's able to balance the two.
I love the stand-up comedy interviews. I've always enjoyed talking to stand-up comedians for a few reasons. One is they're so professional. Like, you're never, if you book a stand-up comedian to do an interview with you, he's going to be on time. He or she is going to be on time. Every time. Like, sometimes people are late, they give excuses, like they're always super professional and grateful to talk to you. And they always have good, funny stories that are outside of their set that you feel like you're hearing for the very first time.
Yeah. There are some, like I said, I could go either way. There have been a few comedian interviews that I didn't care for that I've done in my past, but some that I loved was like, I think it's Craig Gass. Have you ever heard of him?
I haven't.
Or Greg Gass, I don't know. There's been a few. And then there's the other guy from Netflix that we had in here.
Dusty Slay. He was good.
Yeah. He was cool. It seems like, yeah, you're right. I think the ultra famous ones are the best ones. Yeah, and when they're in town to do their comedy show, they'll get there the night before, and then they get up early and come in and do radio, and they're always on point, you know. But as a radio host, you know, it can be a little troubling trying to navigate through that. That's what I'll say.
I talked to Brian Regan before. Remember Ralphie May, comedian Ralphie May?
Yeah.
Big dude. I talked to him, and he was a ton of fun. He gave me a lot of crap because at the time I had like a pay-as-you-go phone. Oh, my God, he was busting my chops about that.
I feel like comedians also, they almost look for that. They look for your weakness so they can get in there.
Yeah, he was just, I'll tell you what he said because it's a good joke. I mean, it's a little bit insensitive and maybe even a little racist, but I don't know. He goes, you're a white guy with a pay-as-you-go phone. Ha, 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 ha. And I'm just like, okay, you can say that. Only you could say that, Ralphie May, because you can get up on stage. It's funny.
That's funny.
Dave Attell, I was talking to once. He was Kathleen Madigan. I mean, all of them are just really, really good on the phone. They're just naturally media trained, I think.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, and especially this guy being so successful now, you know, he definitely knows what he's doing, comes in, gets it done, and leaves. But this guy, he has like a whole team, too. He's really popular on social media, like uber popular, and he has like a whole team. And the way he was just, with the short guy energy, he was just throwing it out. He was like, it was legit. Like, he was like, get with my social media director and let them know the day you're going to post that and we'll repost that. And he mentioned a couple times like, I don't run my social media. I have people that do that. I don't do that. I don't know what's going on. And he's just like, but I approve, you know, I'll approve it. Run it through them. You know, it was that kind of, it's weird because as a comedian, you expect them to just always be funny and not be on their business. But when the camera was off and when the microphones were off, he was still just as funny, but he was straight business.
I love people talking about the business of like stand-up comedy as well. And you kind of got into that a little bit about the travel and what it looks like show to show, visiting towns, and how kind of making it a local moment is still really important. It's just so much hustle. Like, the stand-up comedy world is so, so much hustle, and I've always had a great appreciation for that.
Yeah, I mean, in a world where there's a class clown every 10 seconds, you know, it's kind of like everybody's a photographer now with their phones, you know, it's everybody tries to be a comedian, but you got to have a shtick, you know, and that's his stuttering shtick is the deal, man, and the fact that he embraces it... It's great.
What would you, if you had like a team, like you're an Evan Paul team, to just help with like the business of being famous radio DJ, podcast host, interviewer, Evan Paul, who would be like the first person you hired? Like what position, who would you hire? What job would they take off of your shoulders?
Oh, everything digital, social media.
Oh, really?
Video. Yeah, yeah. I would want to have like, well, honestly, I probably would just get a pair of Meta glasses and just just post all that. I don't know. I would definitely have someone to do my social media. Like, I feel like that would be like an amazing way to unplug and get all the work done better than I can do it, you know? To hire like a social media team that, yeah, that would be probably my first and only hire, because I'd want to not spend any more money.
I'd go with like publicity, someone who could, maybe someone who could book the show, but that might be a stretch, but someone who could take what we do and like, you know, share it with other outlets, get it on social media.
Yeah.
Have me do, you know, what show am I going to appear on to talk about a great interview I did or something like that? Like, kind of like publicize. That stuff I'm really bad at it. Like, we do the thing and the thing's fun and we get the thing live and it's just on to the next thing. And you forget to, like, actually get some attention on the really cool thing you did over here.
Well, yeah. And now that I think about it, I might actually hire like a chef. Yeah, I feel like
you eat like two things, man. Well, how hard is it? You just need someone to grind up your broccolini,
broccoli.
Yeah, that's not hard.
Yeah, but it's still a pain to season the chicken and grill it. And yeah, I probably would hire like a jelly roll type chef to cook like couscous or stuff I've never even heard of that's healthy. You know. Other than that, that and social media, I think would be where it's at. So those are my big dreams and aspirations one day, is to get to that level where I can have a chef and a social media manager.
Hopefully more comedians coming through. I like this guy, and it's a new year. I think we can kind of bring in some new types of interviews here for the podcast as well. We've kind of built the audience. I think we can expand it a little bit more too, especially maybe once every couple months, just sort of these one-offs. Our celebrities and talents that we think are pretty entertaining.
Let's rock and roll. I'll be on the lookout. Maybe we'll get, I don't know. I get emails sometimes. It's like, want to have Chris Rock on your show? Boom. Dude, yes.
100%. I would love Chris Rock.
All right. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to Taste of Country Nights on Demand. Bookmark us and subscribe and come back next week for the next episode.